Hello, everybody, and welcome to another brand new edition of T Watches a Scary Movie. My name is T, and of course, we are talking scary movies. I appreciate you tuning in for another brand new episode. Remember, new episodes are guaranteed to go up every Wednesday night at 8:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. But as I put up extra reviews throughout the week, the best way to stay on top of all the reviews that I'm putting out is to get subscribed to my Linktree. And you can do that by going to linktr.ee/tscarymovie. If you get subscribed to my Linktree, not only does that give you access to the YouTube page for the video versions of the show, which you can hit subscribe there as well too to get alerts from there, you can get access to all the podcasting platforms of your choice to listen to the audio only versions of the show, to my Letterboxd page for my written reviews and yearly movie rankings, and to my TikTok page for my short horror videos, which usually includes me seeing movies early, horror news, things like that. The best way to stay on top of all my horror content, y'all, is to hit that subscribe button. So make sure to do that so you can be alerted anytime I got new stuff coming out for you. So what I have coming for you guys tonight, well, in anticipation of The First Omen, which opens up in theaters tomorrow, April 4th, I decided that I was going to go back and take a look at the Omen series. And what better way to do that than to start with the original 1976 film, The Omen. So we're going to jump right on into that, folks. Now, if you've never seen this film before, The Omen tells the story of the Thornes, a couple currently living in London, raising their young 5-year-old son, Damien. But as strange occurrences begin to happen around the Thorne household, as well as throughout the city of London, Robert Thorne begins to understand that his son, Damien, might very well be the Antichrist. This is a movie that, like a lot of you, I got a chance to see bits and pieces of it as I was younger, but I didn't actually see the original Omen film until I was like well into my teenaged years. And it's kind of interesting because I got to see the second film, Damien, and the third film, The Final Conflict. I saw those in full and had more familiarity with those than I did the original movie for quite a long time. I knew of like the reverence that everybody has or is supposed to have for that original film. Like, one of my favorite directors of all time, Richard Donner, directed this film. If you don't know Richard Donner, come on, y'all. Lethal Weapon, The Goonies, Superman, one of the best directors of all time did this. And it's kind of interesting looking back, because when you think about names like Richard Donner, a lot of times you're really going to associate those to like these high profile action or adventure films. But Richard Donner actually did a lot in the world of horror, interestingly enough. So just something very, very interesting to think of here. Something even more interesting to me, though, is the fact that the writer, David Seltzer, not only wrote the original film, but he actually wrote the 2006 remake starring Liev Schreiber and Julia Stiles as well too. And you don't get that a lot, honestly. Like, there's been times where we've had like the original writer involved with the remake, reboot, whatever that's being done with their film, you know, Wrong Turn comes to mind, but there's not that many out there. And the fact that, not that that's the point of this review, but the remake, while it's not shot for shot, is very much the same film, just updated for modern audiences, something that I do actually feel is really, really necessary for older films. It's just a very interesting tidbit, honestly. So, anyway, we know the plot of the story here. The fact is that Robert Thorne, the head of the Thorne household, played by Gregory Peck, is slowly finding out that his 5-year-old son, Damien, that he shares with his wife, Catherine, played by Lee Remick, might be the Antichrist, might be the son of the devil. And it opens up into all this intrigue and mystery and thrills of him having to confirm this information and then figure out what he's going to do once that information is given to him. And one of the more interesting things I feel about The Omen is that while a lot of people watch this film or have memories of this film and they'll like mention Damien in it, and Damien's always this creepy little kid, don't want to run afoul of Damien or anything, to be honest, Damien doesn't have that much of a presence in this film. For a film and a franchise being completely centered around him, honestly, Damien has like the least presence in this out of all the films featuring this character. But that also makes sense, and it's a reason why this movie does work so well, is that We don't really jump into the evil kid craze, which The Omen absolutely would have been one of the first ones to do that. Not the first, but one of the first films to actually present that kind of horror genre with the evil kid coming and killing people. But that's not really what it is. Honestly, you could sit there and watch this and believe that, well, Damien's not really aware of what's going on. Like, to him, as these things are unfolding and people are dying in all these horrible ways throughout the film, to him, yeah, sure, there's those smiles and he might see it as being funny to him or humorous, but that doesn't really indicate like this nefarious, evil, inherent nature that this character is supposed to have. And that, of course, brings up the conflict that we as viewers and even Robert Thorne himself have in this film. As we learn who Damien really is and the evil, the terror, just the plight that this character is going to bring onto the world, it really brings the question up of whether or not Damien himself is responsible for what's going to end up happening. Like, is he the one that we should be holding accountable here for being the son of the devil and what his job is to take over the world and prepare it for the devil himself? Like, do we have to hold that against this young child who's clearly not doing any of that yet? And it's important to note that with the exception of Damien hitting his mother, Catherine, with his tricycle and sending her to the hospital, Damien himself is not really responsible for any of like the deaths that happened throughout this film. You know, it's kind of funny because it's almost like a Final Destination movie of sorts. And there's a lot being pulled from not only this film, but like the second and even third film as well that I feel Final Destination really capitalizes on. Whether it be the idea of premonitions of death, to where we have the reporter Jennings, played by the incomparable David Warner, who finds these photos of people he's taken photos with close to Thorne, and it's indicating that they're going to meet their doom at one point or another, including himself, something that Final Destination very much uses. But not only that, the fact that so many of these deaths are set up the same way that a lot of deaths in Final Destination are, to where they're Rube Goldberg machines almost, to where wherever this character is at, one thing has to lead to another thing, which has to lead to another, which has to lead to another, to this death occurring. Nobody's just showing up and stabbing or shooting or a monster that's coming and killing all of these people. It's almost like all these accidents are happening in order to cover anybody taking the blame. And that really is it, because there can't be suspicion placed onto Damien for any of this at all, because that would ruin the overall plan, even though he's just a 5-year-old child. And that is part of what makes it a little bit more scarier than I think some people might give it credit for. Because I think if we did have like a Damien, oh, it's the devil child running around killing people, that takes away a sense of innocence to it. And the fact that maybe if you keep Damien happy, then this doesn't have to happen at that point. If you stay on Damien's good side, there's nothing wrong there, because hell, his nanny, Mrs. Baylock, doesn't seem to catch any of the bad things that are going along, even though it's very clear Mrs. Baylock is very clearly evil in that. But anybody that's kind of backing like what Damien's side is going for doesn't really have much going wrong for them, unless they're sacrificing themselves. And beyond that, it also has this message in there about how we deal with our faith and where we can actually find the help that we need. And it's not as direct as you might think for a film that has to do so much with Satan versus the power of good. There's not that much direct messaging in it, but it is kind of interesting to note that the priest that's involved with the initial deception and the reason that the Thorns end up having Damien in the first place is part of this conspiracy. He's part of the reason why this has all happened in the first place, and is looking for absolved. He's looking for absolution for his actions at that point. But he's really the only one that's doing it, because a lot of characters are telling Robert Thorne to accept Jesus as the only way to protect your wife. And I don't know if that's enough for it, because I'm sure that a number of God-fearing people throughout the Omen series are dispatched fairly easily, honestly. I don't know. But I will say this movie is incredibly effective, but my big problem with it, and the reason why I enjoy the second and third movies more, is that I guess I prefer more of a physical presence. I enjoy more of a direct this character is the cause for what's going on. And the first Omen movie, it is scary because there should be a direct implication that Satan himself is the one that's controlling all of these terrible happenings throughout the film. But I think that the second and the third movie honestly just do it a little bit better because we're working off this story and this emotion that we already have. But now Damien's in a position where he's directly the cause of a lot of the events that go down and these various deaths affecting all of these characters. The cast in this is absolutely phenomenal. I think Gregory Peck does an amazing job in the role of Robert Thorne. It's kind of interesting to think that had he not taken this role, the lead character who plays his brother in Damien would have taken this instead. Robert Mitchum? I'd have to go back and check. If I'm wrong, you know, crucify me, right? But the cast does a great job. I think Lee Remick, especially as Catherine Thorne, is excellent in this film because it's very clear that as a mother's intuition would know, she knows something's wrong. She knows that something is off, but she doesn't want to necessarily confront that evil. And when the time does, come for her to confront that, she's the first person really calling it out and nobody takes her seriously. And there's some sexism in that as well too, because even though the 2006 remake kind of like echoes those same sentiments, I have to feel this story was being told in today's world, there'd be a bigger voice with this. Like, no, you're not listening to me of what's going on in my own house right now. Fire the housekeeper, get rid of the dog, and let's go see what the hell is going on with Damien right now. Because something's up, things are not normal around the house, and we need to fix that. And there's just some elements of it because most of what she's saying is dismissed, or she needs to see a psychiatrist, whether it's her own suggestion or not, or the fact that she later becomes pregnant. There's all these things happening that just come from a standpoint of why can't we just take what she's saying to heart and kind of follow through with it? And it's ultimately what damns the Thorns is that they really just can't get the communication out there to discuss the evil happenings that are in their house. The cast is phenomenal. You're going to get a lot of really interesting death scenes in this as well, too. So you're going to wet your whistle if you're looking for something brutal from this. But again, I do feel where it falters is that it's a little bit easier to get those actual physical scares in if you have something to manifest itself in, which Damien does in the two later sequels that come out after this. The Omen is a phenomenal, phenomenal film. And I'm very excited to see where the first Omen leads into it, as from all reports, it leads right into this first movie. I have to imagine it has to do with the hospital that gets destroyed, that has the records that show that they killed the Thorne's original kid to replace it with the son of a jackal, Damien. So I'm ready to see what that's like, and I'm going to be back with that, with my review for that later on this week. But tell me in the comment section, have you seen The Omen 2? Have you seen The Omen 3? You might have seen The Omen 4. I haven't seen that one myself yet, even though I've owned it for years. But let me know in the comment section. Am I wrong here? Is The Omen the best of the franchise? Or are you like me to where you enjoy the second or even the third film just a little bit more? I want to hear about it. Tell me that in the comments, though, folks. But that's going to do it for me tonight. Thank you for tuning in. My name is T. We've been talking scary movies. Stay scared.
Boy here is a big fan of Fangoria! So, if you want to check out the world's best horror magazine that's out there, get a chance to get yourself your own subscription, which I just got my first one back in 2022, and I don't regret it for a second. But if you want your own Fangoria subscription, or you like the Fangoria merchandise, then head over to the Fangoria shop and use my link if you want to save yourself some money, folks. That's an easy one to remember. Just go to shop.fangoria.com/AXDEW. Again, that's shop.fangoria.com/AXDEW, or use my specific code AXDEW at checkout. You can save 20% off your entire order, and that implies two subscription and one-time orders as well. You don't want to miss out, folks, because with the magnitude of horror movies we've had released in the last few years, and with what we have on the horizon, Fangoria is going to be your number one source for all that great, juicy, bloody information in the world of horror. So again, head to shop.fangoria.com. Hey there, folks! Thanks for tuning in to T-Watch This Scary Movie. I appreciate you checking out another review or movie news, whether we're talking movies, TV shows, books, or games, whatever, it's all scary. Remember, you can check out new episodes every Wednesday night at 8:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time on the YouTube page video. That's youtube.com/C/Theron Reynolds Scary Movie. Again, youtube.com/C/Theron Reynolds Scary Movie. And you can check out the audio version on all your favorite podcasting platforms. Just search T Watch the Scary Movie or TWAZA. Don't forget, my name is T. We've been talking scary movies. Stay scared.